This is our 32nd anniversary, and an anniversary is a very special time. Frequently in wedding anniversaries, right, a man and a woman will do something special. It might be something as simple as going out to eat and just reflecting on the past. Nancy and I have just celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary, and we had a wonderful opportunity of just reflecting on God's goodness to us. It's not that uncommon that sometimes at big wedding anniversaries, maybe the 25th or the 50th, that couples will even have a renewal of wedding vows. And they'll remind one another that they are devoted to each other in a way that's different from anyone else. And a husband will reaffirm his devotion to his wife, and a wife will reaffirm her devotion to her husband. And there's something wonderful about that, because in a marriage, it's two people being devoted to one another, and it's very much like that even in a church. You say, what are we doing on this, our 32nd anniversary? Well, I thought it would be good for us to be reminded of what we must be devoted to. If you'd open up to Acts chapter 2, please, and look at verse 42. We're only going to look at one verse this afternoon. And we will find that there are four items that the early church was continually devoted to. And I hope this will be a good reminder for all of us as we thank God for the 32 years we've had as a church, officially Trinity, and also look forward by His grace to many more years to come. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. In Acts 2:42, the Bible says they were continually devoting themselves. That means they were continually persisting in. They were continually adhering. They were constantly attending to. They were incredibly focused. The early church had a very narrow focus. There were four things that over and over and over again they gave themselves to. You said, what are those four things? Well, Acts 2:42 tells us that they were continually devoting themselves to, number one, the apostles' teaching. Number two, to fellowship. Number three, to the breaking of bread. And number four, to prayer. Which would give us our four points of review today. Number one, we must continually devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The King James has the word doctrine. You say, what is doctrine? It's just another word for teaching. You know, sometimes when we teach about the Bible, we call it Bible doctrines. There's even classes called Bible doctrines, and that's appropriate. But it simply means teaching. They were devoted to what the apostles taught. You say, what did the apostles taught? They taught the gospel. They taught the good news that Jesus Christ loved people so much that He went to the cross, and even though He never sinned, He became sin. He suffered and died. You say, why? So that we would not have to try to pay the price of our own sin in hell. Something, of course, we could never do. That's what the apostles taught. And that's what we must be devoted to. The teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 5 that every day in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on what? Teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We are not devoted to anything other than Jesus Christ. We're certainly not devoted to a denomination. Now, some people sometimes think, well, what do you mean? Aren't you a Bible church? We are a non-denominational church. There's no Bible church denomination. Sometimes my students say to me, what's it like being part of a Bible church denomination? We don't have a denomination. We're just a Bible church. You say, why a Bible church? Because we believe the Bible. So we call it a Bible church. And what do? We devote ourselves to the teachings of Scripture. We're not devoted to any movement historically. We are not devoted, say, to fundamentalism, even though we would refer to ourselves as a fundamental church. We are not devoted to any type of teaching of men. Many of you are familiar with the so-called worship wars that go on, how people should worship. We are not devoted to traditional worship here, nor are we devoted to progressive worship. We are devoted to one thing, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the early church focused on. We're not devoted to social change. Now, we have elections coming up. Some of you are going to be voting in a primary this Tuesday, I believe, and I'll be there voting as well. And then, of course, in November, we'll have even larger elections. And we may even have a table out in the lobby next weekend so that you could register to vote if you're not registered. That's part of being salt in a corrupt world. But that's not what we're here for. Nor are we here to build buildings or to have increased programs. You say, why are we here? Because, number one, we are devoted to the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by His grace, may it always be so. That's number one. We must continually be devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Number two, it says that they were continually devoting themselves to fellowship. The word fellowship, there's a couple of Greek words I think that some of us are familiar with, even if we don't know Greek. And the word is koinonia. It is the word for a close relationship, for association, for communion. A word that was used of marital relations, the most intimate relations possible between two people. It has to do with participation. It has to do with sharing. Recently, we had the opportunity to look at Hebrews 10, and we considered where the writer writes, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as the habit is of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It is God's will that we devote ourselves to fellowship. You say, what does that mean? We come together as the body of Christ. Do you ever wonder why we come together? You say, well, to hear a message from Pastor. www.sermonaudio.com. You could hear every message that he preaches at home. You say, well, I wouldn't be able to hear special music. My guess is these guys have probably recorded some at the Wilds, maybe, already. There you go. You could sit at home, listen to a sermon, have a time of worship with your family, and play a CD. You don't have to come here. You say, why do we come? Because God wills that we come. It is what God's plan is for His church, that we come together as the body of Christ in a very intimate way, and we fellowship together. That's koinonia. That's what the early church did. We gather together to worship as the people of God, to share a meal as the people of God. And of course, it extends beyond our corporate worship. Last night, we had our second 6 at 6 fellowship. And it was a great blessing. I don't know if I've ever done this before. There were the three groups, if you will, five of us all together. And the brother whose home we were at, I found out he played a guitar. I asked him if he'd pull out his guitar, and he did. And he sang, he and his wife, in Spanish, as Nancy and I and Brother Brian sang in English. And she would open up at one time to a bilingual New Testament or bilingual Bible, because we were singing the Psalms. And she helped me to understand how, OK, here's the English in this column, here's the Spanish in this column. And I'm sure I mispronounced many of the words in Spanish. But what a blessing it was to glorify God together in song, singing Spanish and English, sometimes me trying to sing Spanish the best I could. And I left so excited. I told Nancy, this was so wonderful that here I am with the brother and sister. We don't even communicate that well, but we shared a meal and we worshiped God together because we know the same Christ. We've been saved by the same grace. We have put the same faith in the finished work on Calvary. And we came together to worship. That's fellowship. We must be continually devoted to fellowship. Corporate worship, yes. Small group fellowship, yes. We've announced in our new building our plans, and this is going to depend on how things go financially when we actually do this. But our goal is to place the new building behind this building in such a way that it would be just enough room for an appropriate courtyard. Because we want to have a nicely landscaped courtyard so that when the services are over, say on Sunday night, there would be a normal place for families to congregate, for children to play, for moms and dads and singles to talk, a place where also we could gather together for fellowships as well. Why? Because that would be what pleases the Lord, fellowship. As the body of Christ coming together, we must continually be devoted to fellowship. And even if it's something as simple as having an ice cream fellowship on a Sunday night, which we have one planned, and that'll be in the bulletin next week, Lord willing, that's important. It's what the Lord would have us to do. You say, why? Because we all share something in common. We have all put faith in Christ. And that's what we're reminded of every time we come. And our third point, we remind ourselves of what Christ did for us through the breaking of bread. And that's number three. Number one, we must be continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, two, to fellowship, and number three, to the breaking of bread. That's the Lord's table. That's what we sometimes call communion, right? Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Christ wants us to remember what he did for us. The text continues in the same way. "He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that word proclaim is the word preach. Every time we have a communion service, we preach the gospel. We preach the good news of Christ. We preach that we are all sinners who have been forgiven as we have put our faith in Christ and Christ alone. That's why we have communion. That's why we have the Lord's table. That's why the early church continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And finally, number four, and lastly in this text, as well as to prayer. If we're to have a church, to continue to have a church that would bring God glory, we must continually be devoted to prayer. Now, certainly it's a good thing for us to pray privately. And many of you have traditions where you start the morning with prayer. Perhaps you end the day with prayer. You set aside maybe time before meals and you pray, and that's wonderful. Prayer is a very important part of our private worship, but I don't think that's what this verse refers to at all. It says they, plural, the church. You say, how many? Well, look at verse 41. In verse 41, it says they added 3,000 souls that day. The church was coming together. And what was the church doing? It says they were continually devoted to prayer. This is corporate prayer. Why do we pray every time we come together and have a worship service? Because this pleases our God. And again, you could say, I could stay home and pray. Well, you should. We all should be home and praying. But one of the reasons we come together Sunday morning is to pray. And one of the reasons we come together Sunday night is to pray. And one of the reasons we come together Wednesday night is corporate prayer. This is God's will. And that doesn't mean, again, if you don't make it to every service, that's a horrible thing. Obviously, God sees the heart. But it's a good thing for God's people to gather together. And we say, again, I could stay home and pray. Of course you can, but that's not how God ordained the church to operate. The early church was devoted, continually devoting themselves to corporate prayer. Which is why I'm very thankful that ever since I've come to Trinity, we don't have Wednesday night midweek services. I'm not saying that's wrong. But for many churches, the tradition would be more of a normal service. More music, more preaching and offering and such. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But whoever made decisions, and it was made certainly before I started worshiping here, the decision was made, let's not do that. Let's just have a song or two, share requests, and then let's spend time in prayer. The body of Christ coming together in prayer. People joining pairs in the auditorium. Teens getting together, college age people getting together and doing what? And praying together is the body of Christ. The early church was devoted to corporate prayer. Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." And this is the ministry by God's grace that we hope to continue to engage in. A ministry that is continually devoted to apostolic teaching. We must continually teach and preach the gospel. Secondly, fellowship. Coming together in an intimate way is the body of Christ. Why? Thirdly, remembering what Christ has done for us. That's the breaking of bread. And finally, prayer. Coming together as the body of Christ and joining in corporate prayer. This is what every church must be engaged in. This is the divinely sanctioned model. And on this, our 32nd anniversary, this is good for all of us to review. Again, it's very common on wedding anniversaries to review what each person's devoted to. And a husband will say, "Honey, I'm still devoted to you." And the wife would say, "I'm still devoted to you as well." A renewal of vows, if you will. It's an appropriate thing. It's certainly appropriate as we gather together today for our 32nd anniversary to be reminded of what we must be continually devoted to as Trinity Bible Church. To the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come into your presence, Lord. We have been taught how to come into your presence. We thank you for the apostolic teaching that we have received. Father, thank you for Pastor Custer and others who have taught us. Thank you for our Sunday school teachers. Thank you for others, Lord, who have filled this pulpit. Thank you for all of those, Lord, who have helped us to understand what apostolic doctrine is. And we praise you for it. And we thank you for the fellowship that we have as Trinity Bible Church. We thank you even for this good day that we've been able to come together and to associate and to share with one another. And Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he has done. We thank you for the many times, Lord, we've been in this room breaking bread and remembering the wonderful work of Calvary. Father, we praise you for sending your son to die on the cross. We say thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity even now to engage in corporate prayer, to come together as a group. Thank you, Lord, for the many, many opportunities through the years we've had. Lord, in Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesdays, and Lord, in other opportunities in each other's homes as well. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We pray by your grace, the Trinity, Lord, would always be a church that pleases you, a church that is focused on what really matters. May we always, by your grace, be continually devoted to what you have told us this day. For your glory, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.